Welcome to another exciting episode of Not in a Creepy Way. It's the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies, but not in a creepy way.
Spoiler alert.
Welcome, this is Eric.
This is Brother Jay.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 2010 American film The Social Network, directed by David Fincher, written by Aaron Sorkin, and executive produced by Kevin Spacey. It's important to point out from the very beginning that this is not a documentary. This is a telling of a story, and we'll get into the structure of the story, which I think is actually pretty clever, but you don't have a reliable narrator necessarily. Like, you never actually see the story from Zuckerberg's point of view.
That would be correct.
Is that about right? I mean, I don't, because if I'm characterizing it as incorrect, I mean, let me know if I'm wrong.
I don't know. I'm trying to go back and think in my head now, where else I would think, I don't know, outside my head, I guess. I'm trying to see whose point of view the movie's from, and I'm not sure. Maybe from the attorney's point of view, except that, I don't know. I don't know where the source material came from.
Well, and I know
I know that it was, I know it was written, but.
Well, yeah, it was a book, and the book itself, I guess the book itself is in a little bit of dispute about how factual it was, but everybody agrees on one thing. They got the wardrobe right. I think Zuckerberg said, a lot of what the movie had was just plain fiction, but every single thing that was worn by the Mark Zuckerberg character in that movie was something I actually owned.
That's kind of frightening.
Yeah, because that actually is one of his trademarks. He wears the fuck you flip-flops?
Yeah, they made a great point to show him in flip-flops a lot.
Yeah, yeah, he is never dressed up, ever. He's always in like a hoodie or a t-shirt. But anyway, this is a film about Facebook, and really it's a courtroom drama told mostly in flashbacks.
Yeah, it's all kind of in retrospective.
Yeah, it's two different court cases at the same time. It's Mark Zuckerberg against his former partner, and then also Mark Zuckerberg against these crazy Harvard twins that claim he stole their thing. And we'll get into that when we get into the plot. But anything we need to set the stage with before we start the plot?
No, I mean, I own this movie. It really is a great movie. If you haven't seen it, go watch it first. I mean, really, go watch it. Watch it a couple times, because I have picked up things every time I've watched it. And I've watched it now probably a half a dozen times.
Well, even though we're gonna completely spoil every portion of this plot, and I'm going to put in quotes from the movie, given all of that, I'm going to say that you could listen to this whole podcast and still go back and watch the movie and have a wonderful experience.
Yeah, no, it's true. No, because there's so much in this movie, and because this is a Fincher movie, and I'll talk about this later when we talk about kind of the, because I have the entire second disc of extra features. I spent 2 hours watching the movie and then 3 hours watching the extra features. So there is a lot. There's a lot of stuff. And Fincher is really, I could never be an actor. Just watching what was going on, I could never be an actor, where he's got some of the actors, 99 takes of the same line, where all they're doing is, he's just saying one line, and Fincher's like, no, do it, say it like this. And he delivers the line. Fincher's like, okay, let's try this. And so literally there's 99 takes of that in a row. And then that's just one line.
And while that actor is saying one line, everybody else is either sitting on the set, not doing anything, or in their trailer, not doing anything.
Right.
So yeah, that seems to be the maddening part of it all.
And I give Fincher credit, because I mean, in totality, this is a very powerful movie. Granted, it's a drama, and it's a dramatization, and it's very fictionalized. But it's still, as a whole, as a vehicle, it's powerfully moving.
Oh, yeah.
At least I felt.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk about this movie in terms of its truth. We're going to talk about it as its value as a movie.
Right, or correct. I am not purporting this is in any way a representation of any kind of fact of Mark Zuckerberg or of Facebook.
Yeah, well, it seems like it's roughly conceivable, or...
It clearly had enough truth that they couldn't, that it wasn't able to be stopped.
Yeah. Anyway, so actually, I skipped one part of our normal thing, and that's, how did this movie find you?
I can't remember.
Well, that's a valid answer.
I want to say that I saw it in the theaters, but I don't think that I did. I'm trying to think. It came out in 2010. If I did see it, it would have been probably Travis and I, but I don't think this was a movie we went and saw in the movie theaters. But I absolutely bought the DVD and I've watched it at home. Because it's a Sorkin screenplay, and I love Sorkin. He can do little wrong. So.
Oh, yeah. And, I was introduced to this movie because you wanted to talk about it, and I hadn't seen it yet. So, this week I watched this movie twice, and it was the first and second time I've seen the movie.
And so, on the classic academic grading scale, what do you give it?
Oh, it's an A. I mean, as I texted you, the thing about this movie is it's a kind of a courtroom drama about a programmer who is basically a little bit, he's probably has a touch of, he's a little bit further down the autism spectrum than, whatever the standard median is, but it moves. This is a well-paced movie. It's 2 hours, but it doesn't feel like it. And even though there aren't really any big action sequences, there are no car chases in this movie, but it moves along fantastically.
Yeah. There's very rarely a moment where there's not something, even in the slower parts, it's not slow. That's the amazing part of this movie.
Oh yeah. And that's the thing is that, again, there's lots of, one of the reasons I suggested that we never get to have the story narrated by Zuckerberg is because you never know what he's thinking. All you get is his reaction from dialogue, and that's great. And but in the rest of the movie, all the other characters are basically saying their testimony in the deposition, and so they're saying what they were thinking. And Zuckerberg rarely, Zuckerberg rarely answers the question about what he was thinking because it's immaterial to him.
Well, right, and his lawyers don't want him to say anything.
Well, of course, yeah, but that doesn't seem to be all that big of a stretch for him because he's not saying a lot normally. He's thinking three things at the same time. And when he's with a girl, he can't stop himself as from the first, when we get into the plot, we'll talk about the first speech in this movie. But
the opening scene.
Yeah. Which is, you need that to establish him as a character.
Yeah. But you also get to see Rooney Mara in a different role.
Oh yeah, exactly. And she's not in the movie very much, but she's pretty great.
Yeah, but she's integral to the movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, were you going to dive into the plot?
Yeah.
Okay, so, setting. Late 2003, 19-year-old Harvard University student Mark Zuckerberg, played by Jesse Eisenberg, is dumped by his then-girlfriend Erica Albright, played by Rooney Mara, at the Thirsty Scholar Pub at Harvard. So, Jesse Eisenberg. The thing about Jesse Eisenberg for me is that my daughter's favorite movie, my daughter is going to be turning 5 next week, her favorite movie is the movie Rio, and Jesse Eisenberg plays the blue macaw Blue, and I've seen that movie probably 100 times. That's not even exaggerating. So when Jesse Eisenberg starts talking as Mark Zuckerberg, all I can think of is he's a cartoon parrot.
Well... Yeah.
So if we could...
I've heard songs from Rio more times than I ever care to, and it's only been in your presence.
Of course, yeah, because when you're in the car with my daughter, it's either that or Dinosaur Train.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I can say the dinosaurs A to Z. I will not demonstrate that now, a la The Nanny, but I could. Just trust me on that.
Oh, I trust you.
Yeah. So anyway, the pub scene between Mark and Erica... is great because it establishes Zuckerberg's personality right from the get-go. You don't like this guy. I mean, he is smart, but he's also socially inept, but not in a charming way.
Yeah, this isn't some kind of like, oh, he's just backwards. This is like, oh God, he's one of those people.
And if that wasn't clear enough just between the interaction, she gives a speech that puts a nail right in the head.
Mark, I'm not speaking in code.
Erica.
You're obsessed with finals clubs. You have finals clubs OCD and you need to see someone about it. We'll prescribe you some sort of medication. You don't care if the side effects may include blindness.
Final clubs, not finals clubs. And there's a difference between being obsessed and being motivated.
Yes, there is.
Well, you do. That was cryptic, so you do speak in code.
I didn't mean to be cryptic.
I'm just saying I need to do something substantial in order to get the attention of the clubs.
Why?
Because they're exclusive and fun, and they lead to a better life.
Teddy Roosevelt didn't get elected president because he was a member of the Phoenix Club.
He was a member of the Porcellian, and yes, he did.
Well, why don't you just concentrate on being the best you can be?
Did you really just say that?
I was kidding. Although just because something's trite doesn't make it any less
I want to try to be straightforward with you and tell you that I think you might want to be a little more supportive. If I get in, I will be taking you to the events and the gatherings, and you'll be meeting a lot of people you wouldn't normally get to meet.
You would do that for me?
We're dating.
Okay. Well, I want to try and be straightforward with you and let you know that we're not anymore.
What do you mean?
We're not dating anymore, I'm sorry.
Is this a joke?
No, it's not.
You're breaking up with me?
You are going to introduce me to people I wouldn't normally have the chance to meet. What is that supposed to mean?
Wait, settle down.
What is it supposed to mean?
Erica, the reason we're able to sit here and drink right now is because he used to sleep with the door guy.
The door guy? His name is Bobby. I have not slept with the door guy. The door guy is a friend of mine, and he's a perfectly good class of people. And what part of Long Island are you from? Wimbledon?
Wait.
I'm going back to
wait,
my door.
Wait, is this real?
Yes.
Okay, then wait. I apologize, okay?
I have to go study.
Erica?
Yes?
I'm sorry, I mean it.
I appreciate that, but I have to go study.
Come on, you don't have to study. You don't have to study. Let's just talk.
I can't.
Why?
Because it is exhausting. Dating you is like dating a stairmaster.
All I meant is that you're not likely to... currently. I wasn't making a comment on your parents. I was just saying that you go to BU. I was stating a fact. That's all. And if it seemed rude, then of course I apologize.
I have to go study.
You don't have to study.
Why do you keep saying I don't have to study?
Because you go to BU. You want to get some food?
I am sorry you are not sufficiently impressed with my education.
I'm sorry I don't have a robot, so we're even.
I think we should just be friends.
I don't want friends.
I was just being polite. I have no intention of being friends with you.
I'm under some pressure right now from my OS class, and if we could just order some food, I think we should be...
Okay, you are probably going to be a very successful computer person. You're going to go through life thinking that girls don't like you because you're a nerd. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that that won't be true. It'll be because you're an asshole.
At the end of this exchange, of course, he's a little bummed, so he goes back to his dorm. And you get to learn another thing about Zuckerberg is that he's a smart guy who needs projects, but he also seems to live journal his entire life.
Which comes back to bite him.
Of course. Yeah, because, you know, and I will insert another speech later when he meets Erica a second time in this movie that also really drives home the point that he's one of the creeps on the internet too. So we've got a main character that is not really likable. So luckily, all the other characters around him have redeeming qualities, I think, that allow you to like him. Well, maybe not all of them. We'll get there. Anyway, so he goes back and writes an insulting entry about Erica on his live journal blog, and then he decides to just create a campus website called FaceMash by hacking into a bunch of college databases. And this is a great, basically, action scene on a guy who's basically being a hacker and writing code.
And so the opening scene when they're in the pub, by the way, I wrote down the dialogue between Erica and Mark in the pub is so Sorkin. The writing is so Sorkin. It's like, it's almost West Wing-ish. It's so Sorkin because the back and forth constant volley is just, it's just a barrage. And you have a hard time keeping up with it.
And it adds to the movie because it's not quite like a real conversation. It's like the best possible conversation.
Right. But also, as he's going from the thirsty scholar, whatever the pub is, back to his dorm room, you get introduced to the score for the first time.
Oh, I know. I love this score.
This score was Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. And as far as I'm concerned, Trent Reznor, all he needs to do is movie scores. Like, forever. I mean, because all of the music is absolutely fantastic.
And it really does add to the fact that the movie moves along. It helps the pacing greatly.
Yeah.
Because it generates tension. In a situation that you wouldn't really necessarily have it. So.
And when they move to the dorm room where Mark's, you know, starting his face mash and he's gathering the databases and he's doing all the hacking, you know, he said that you know, they wondered about how much they wanted to go into the technical, because they wanted very much to make sure that they were accurate in what they did and what they portrayed as far as the technology. But they knew that, like, building a blog scene, that there was so much they could go into that they would lose the audience. And so they figured what they would do is they would go into it faster. And faster was better because there was too much info. And so that way they could go into it on a light way and just be fast. And even though you get to see lots of it, it's going so rapid, but it's also not important necessarily to the story. You know, what he's doing and how he's getting there is important, but the actual minutia isn't as important. So the details are there, but they're very abbreviated and very rapid.
Yeah, but they are there. And that's important at the beginning, because it's nice to have the scene where it shows that this isn't just magic. You know, he's actually really good at what he's doing. And they do it in such an artful way, and they only have to show it once, and they only show it once.
Right, and they further go in, you know, and the point that he makes later on, you know, he did all this while he was drunk.
Oh, exactly, yeah. No, the guy seems to, you know, you get the sense that he lives and breathes, you know, programming and code, and he's, you know, he's going to all these other classes, like there's an art class, at least one art class, where he's got two separate screens on his computer where he's writing code. So he's obviously not paying attention to the class, except that you really don't know what he's paying attention to, because he seems to be, even though he's thinking ahead, they have another situation where he gets up and leaves a class and the professor is sort of mocking him and he spouts out the answer to the question, the complicated answer to the question that's being asked. And that shows that he's a smart guy too.
His intellect is probably his biggest problem.
Well, and he's smart and he also pays attention. He's just very socially awkward.
Well, and I think the portrayal of this movie is like, it shows him really smart, but he doesn't seem really egotistical though.
No, he doesn't seem to be interested in making a ton of money. Although
no.
it is a club that he's willing to use.
He's ambitious, but he's not really egotistical about it. He wants to create something great. But he's not looking to get rich. He's just looking to make something great. But it's important how he does it.
Well, he wants to be the best. I mean, he definitely has an ego about what he's doing. He just doesn't need to be necessarily rewarded in money as his primary goal. Because he's doing all of these things just kind of for fun and to make something of a name for himself. Like, the thing about Face Mash is Face Mash crashes Harvard's computer system. And for him, that's a great thing. I mean, it shows that he could get through security. It shows that he can generate enough traffic to crash the system. And that's what's getting him attention, which he wants desperately. I mean, Zuckerberg wants to be one of the cool kids, but he is not.
He's never going to be one of the cool kids.
No. And we don't even get into his background at all. This is a nice movie in that it just starts in 2003 and ends even before the settlement in the two lawsuits. So it's a very short period of time to work with, so you don't have to show him, you know, getting his first Amiga computer, blah, blah, blah. Although he's young enough that it wouldn't be an Amiga. He'd be getting an actual PC of some kind. Anyway, yeah, so he basically, he goes home and gets drunk and does this amazing Face Mash thing while also blogging these horrible things about his ex-girlfriend. And again, it's a very well-paced scene, and it shows kind of where you're at. And then this is the point where you flash forward and realize that, okay, he is being deposed for two different court cases. And all of these things are shown in flashback. And he disagrees with the whole conversation that he had with Erica. He just says that it's, you know, it's all a lie. It's not, that conversation didn't happen the way that it was stated.
Yeah.
And he's also, again, he's very matter of fact, even in the deposition. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't want to be there. It's a waste of his time, but he's going to, you know, he'll answer the questions, but he's not going to, he's not there to make friends. So because of this, the face smash caused the computer system to crash. It attracts the attention of Harvard upperclassmen and twins, Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss, both played by Armie Hammer, and their business partner, Divya Narendra, played by Max Minghella.
So Armie Hammer plays both of the characters, but there's another actor who played with him.
Okay, because I was wondering how that happened. Tell me how that whole thing worked.
So it's amazing, by the way. It is amazing. So there were two actors, Josh Pence and Armie Hammer. And if you look at them, they look very similar. They're actually the same height, or they're very close to the same height. They did some very sophisticated computer CGI, and CGI isn't the right term, but so Josh Pence had little white dots all over his face. And they both acted side by side. And what would happen was, is they would switch roles back and forth, and Armie would say one line of one of the twins, and then they would switch outfits, and then he would go and say the other line while Josh Pence was switching outfits to be the other twin. And so they just basically were able to have this computer program that, from based on the white dots on Josh Pence's face, created an exact proper rendered facsimile of Armie Hammer's face moving in the dialogue that was Josh Pence, or it was actually Armie Hammer, but it was crazy. It was just the technology that they used was crazy. So when you see the two people there, there are two actors there. There's two different people. But because of how they've done it with the CGI and the video editing, it's been changed.
Well, and I haven't caught an entire episode, but I caught the beginning, I think the opening maybe, of the Patty Duke show on this channel we have that's like MeTV, all these old shows. And so, you know, we've been doing this twins played by the same actor for quite a while. But this is amazing because in this show, the twins are never apart. There have to be two actors in there because there is rarely, there were a couple times, but I counted, and on one hand, the times where you only saw one of the twins in frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what, I mean, there's parts where you're seeing, there are literally parts where Fincher would be like, okay, I need you guys to switch shirts. And cause they're like sitting at the table eating food at one point early on in the movie where they're all sitting together, and Fincher's like, okay, I need you to stand up and switch shirts and switch roles. And so they're switching back and forth kind of at the will of Fincher.
Well, and they're twins, and they're identical twins, but they actually have different personalities. Cameron is the more, I guess, suave, and also it doesn't have as hot a temper as Tyler, who is a little more brusque and to the point. Like when this whole thing happens, Cameron's like, okay, we're going to take the proper steps, you know, because I'm bitter about this too. We're going to take the proper steps, go through the right channels. And Tyler and Divya want to basically take a baseball bat to Zuckerberg.
Yeah, it is kind of funny how much the twins, at least as portrayed in this movie, are very kind of yin and yang.
Oh yeah, it's about great too. And even though, I mean, I don't know what see, one thing about this movie, another reason why you know, I can't, like, I don't put myself in the position of being Zuckerberg is because I can't imagine what it would be like to go to Harvard. You know, this is a kind of a rarefied environment. And he's not exactly a fish out of water, but he's not the Winklevoss twins. They belong there and they know it. And, you know, but they're also a little bit, I mean, I thought as characters, they were great because they were just kind of bumbling enough to be kind of likable. That makes sense. I mean, did you have that reaction?
Yeah. I mean, and actually I feel bad. Actually, this movie made me feel bad for the Winkle, as Mark calls him in the movie, the Winkle Vi.
Yeah. I love that.
It's a great, the Winkle Vi. I think Travis really loved that too. You kind of feel bad for them because as Mark says at one point, you know, I forget the line, of course, I'm going to muff the line, but you know, they're upset because something didn't go the way it was supposed to go.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's why they're suing. Not because he thinks he stole stuff from them, but because for once in their life, the things did, you know, something didn't go the way they expected it to.
Yeah. And so in a way you kind of feel bad for them because you think, at least I should say, I felt bad for them because I'm like, oh, they kind of didn't quite get it. And then they got, you know, they got the rug pulled out from them, or they got hoodwinked, or they just weren't smart enough to think that something bad would happen to them. And surprise, bad things happen to good people.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you get the sense that...
That's being generous, because, you know, who knows if they're good people, but...
Well, again, as portrayed in the movie, they are a representative of, you know, they are wealthy, and they're in Harvard, so they just assume they're the smartest people in any room. They just don't have the ability to realize that Zuckerberg, who doesn't talk very much, isn't very social, is going to just blow past them in life. That doesn't seem acceptable, you know?
In the movie, Zuckerberg's clearly smarter than the Winklevi, although he doesn't have the kind of the grandiose, small-mindedness that they have. Because they're thinking, you know, when they approach Mark in the beginning of this movie, they're like, we want you to create, you know, the Harvard connection. And he's like, but when Mark gets his idea, he's like, I want something big.
Yeah. Yeah. They're thinking too small. Like, that's an interesting idea. You came to me because you knew I could do it. Cause I just did something very much like that in, you know, a couple of hours while drunk. So they are seeing him as basically, you know, the tech guy, like he's the servant basically. You know, they're just going to hire this guy to come in and do the plumbing on their great idea. Because, as is pointed out by the president of Harvard to them directly at one point, everybody at Harvard wants to make a job rather than get a job.
Yeah, because making a job is better than getting a job.
Yeah, exactly.
How much did you love the president of the university?
Oh,
he was very much like just handing the Winklevi. He's like... This isn't something that rises to the level of you having a meeting with me.
Well, it's so hilarious because he's condescending to them even before they have fully stepped into the room.
I should have been there. Well, darkness is the absence of light, and the stupidity in that instance was the absence of me. Catherine, I've got students in my office now. Students. Undergrads. I don't know. From the looks of it, they want to sell me a Brooks Brothers franchise. All right. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. I'm Cameron Winklevoss, and this is my brother, Tyler.
And you're here because... Either of you can answer.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I thought you were reading the letter.
I've read the letter.
Well, we came up with an idea for a website called Harvard Connection. We've since changed the name to Connect You. And Mark Zuckerberg stole that idea.
I understand. And I'm asking what you want me to do about it.
Well, sir, in the Harvard Student Handbook, which is distributed to each freshman, under the heading Standards of Conduct in the Harvard Community, it says the college expects all students to be honest and forthcoming in their dealings with members in this community. Students are required to respect public and private ownership and instances of theft, misappropriation,
and...
Yes, sir.
Punch me in the face. Go ahead.
Or unauthorized use will result in disciplinary action, including the requirement to withdraw from the college.
You memorized that instead of doing what?
Oh, what my brother and I came here today to ask of you, respectfully,
sir,
of course, is it's against university rules to steal from another student, plain and simple.
You've spoken to your housemaster.
Yes, sir. and the housemaster made a recommendation to the ad board, but the ad board won't see us.
Have you tried dealing with the other student directly?
Mr. Zuckerberg hasn't been responding to any of our emails or phone calls for the last 2 weeks. He doesn't answer when we knock on his door at Kirkland, and the closest I've come to dealing with him face to face is when I saw him on the quad and chased him through Harvard Square.
You chased him?
I saw him, and I know he saw me. I went after him, and then he disappeared.
I don't see this as a university issue.
Of course this is a university issue. There's a code of ethics and an honor code, and he violated
them. You enter into a code of ethics with the university, not with each other.
I'm sorry, President Summers, but what you just said makes no sense to me at all.
I'm devastated by that.
What my brother means is, if Mark Zuckerberg walked into our dorm room and stole our computer, that would be a university issue.
I really don't know. This office doesn't handle petty larceny.
This isn't petty larceny. This idea is potentially worth millions of dollars.
Millions?
Yes.
You might just be letting your imaginations run away with you.
Sir, I honestly don't think you're in any position to make that call.
I was the U.S. Treasury Secretary. I'm in some position to make that call.
Well, letting our imaginations run away with us is exactly what we were told to do in your freshman address.
Well, then I would suggest that you let your imaginations run away with you on a new project.
You would?
Yes, everyone at Harvard's inventing something. Harvard undergraduates believe that inventing a job is better than finding a job. So I'll suggest again that the two of you come up with a new project.
I'm sorry, sir, but that's not the point.
Please. Arrive at the point.
You don't have to be an intellectual property expert to understand the difference between right and wrong.
And you're saying that I don't.
Of course I'm not saying that, sir. I'm saying that.
Really?
Sir.
And how did they get this appointment?
Colleagues of their father.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Winklevoss, since you're on the subject of right and wrong. This action, this meeting, the two of you being here, is wrong. It's not worthy of Harvard. It's not what Harvard saw in you. You don't get special treatment.
We never asked. Just start another project?
If
we're making a diorama for a science fair?
If you have a problem with that, Mr. Winklevoss.
We never asked for special
treatment. The courts are always at your disposal. Is there anything else I can do for you?
Or you could take the Harvard student handbook and shoot.
Ty.
Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Well, I mean, he's like, because he talks, he leans over and he says, just hit me in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like... You know, it's funny how, and of course they plead with such sincerity. They plead, they're pleading their case, and they don't realize that they've lost before they've ever walked into the room.
That's another thing about this movie that I thought was great. Everybody in this movie plays, is sincere, except for Mark. You don't know whether he's sincere or not. And when we get to the end, I think the end of this movie is actually about perfect. Anyway, so the Winklevi get a hold of Zuckerberg and say, hey, we need you, we thought of this idea to make this like social network for Harvard students. Can you do that for us? We've got this project. And he's like, sure. And they're a little bit surprised because they thought he'd be negotiating. He's like, no, it'd be cool. That's fine. And they invite him as far as the bike room in whatever the highest final club.
I think it was the Phoenix House?
No, it was the better one.
No. Okay,
it was the
whatever.
One they called the pork.
Okay.
But yeah, so they invited him in, but he can only go so far because he's not, a member of one of these groups. Like the speech in the very beginning of the movie where he ends up getting dumped by Erica, he talks about the importance of getting into one of these final clubs. So we have this situation where he comes in kind of like an underling to these guys. He says, yeah, I'll work on your thing, whatever, And then he goes back and instantly... hits up his friend, Eduardo Saverin, played by Andrew Garfield. By the way, I really like the Wardo character.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's a great character, and you feel for him so much.
And he does a lot of acting in this. Not that Jesse Eisenberg is bad at all. He does great. But he has to be really kind of flat, like that flat affect kind of thing.
Right. Zuckerberg is kind of a very one-note kind of mood.
I'm telling you, he's on the spectrum.
Yeah. But you're right. Eduardo really, he goes through a gamut of emotions and, and sometimes in one scene he changes because you will see him rage and anger and then calm and then sorrow and then apology.
Well, and at various points in the story, all of these characters are over their heads because they don't have any idea what a huge thing this is going to be.
Except I would speculate that in this movie, there's one person that is never over his head. Mr. Justin Timberlake.
Well, except he has his own personal problems that get in the way.
Yeah, but he's never over his head.
No, you're right. He is thinking like three steps ahead in the non-programming part of this. Anyway, we'll get to him presently, but now we meet Wardo, and Zuckerberg goes to the Jewish fraternity and on Caribbean night, and that's where you meet Wardo and pulls him out of the party and says, "Hey, I got this idea." You know, and of course Eduardo is like, "So why are you coming to me? Your roommates are programmers. You could do this without me." And then Zuckerberg's like, "Okay, we need some startup money." So knowing what we know now about the relative worth of Facebook as a company, it's amazing that this whole thing starts for $1,000.
Isn't it though?
And it's not like, I mean, obviously, you know, they are all very young and they're still in college, and college is expensive. So $1,000 would be like a big thing to have to pull out of your pocket. But it seemed like, as it was pointed out in later testimony, if he really needed $1,000, he could just have asked the Winklevi. But he is not asking the Winklevi, as he also says in a deposition later, because he wanted to be in this partnership with his friend, Eduardo, which you get to tell is like basically his only friend, or one of his only friends. So, unfortunately, from the get-go, Caribbean Night, there's a little tension there because Eduardo is happy to report that he's been punched by the Phoenix Club. And Mark is jealous of this.
That was the thing. It was a big project, and he was going to have to write tens of thousands of lines of code, so I wondered why he was coming to me and not his roommates, Dustin Moskovitz and Chris Hughes. They were programmers.
We're going to need a little startup cash to rent the servers and get it online.
So that was why.
Did he offer terms?
Yes.
We'll split it, 70-30. 70 for me, 30 for you for putting up $1,000 and for handling everything on the business end, your CFO.
And you said?
I said, let's do it.
Okay, did he add anything else?
Yes.
It probably was a diversity thing. But so what?
Why do you think he said that?
Gretchen, excuse me for interrupting, but whose discovery is
Sai,
this?
Sai, if you'll let me continue with my line of questioning.
They're suggesting I was jealous of Eduardo for getting punched by the Phoenix and began a plan to screw him out of a company I hadn't even invented yet.
Were you?
Gretchen.
Jealous of Eduardo.
Oh, stop typing. We're off
Ma'am,
the record.
I know you've done your homework, and so you know that money isn't a big part of my life, but at the moment I could buy Mount Auburn Street, take the Phoenix Club, and turn it into my ping pong room.
And at first you're not sure whether he is or not, but twice he actually, I guess in the book, The Game, that tells you how to score with women, which I find appalling, not scoring with women, I'm sure that's lovely, but he does something called negging, where he basically slams Eduardo twice. Once about, you know, because Eduardo was saying, you know, it's probably a diversity thing, but hey, isn't it cool that I've been punched and I can whatever. And then, you know, at the end of that, Zuckerberg is like, oh, yeah, by the way, it probably was a diversity thing. But, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, it's what Tom Likas would call the backhanded compliment, which is what he advises using to get women into bed.
No, that's
to lower their self-esteem.
Exactly. And like, you know, and it's like a psychological warfare tool. So the fact that he does it again.
It's an effective tool. At lowering someone's, you know, morale and self-esteem to be able to manipulate them.
Exactly. Because just a little bit later, Eduardo comes to him and says, hey, I made it through the second round, you know, and he's like, oh, that's great. You know, it's an honor just to get that far, even if you don't get picked for the rest of it, which takes all the wind out of the sails of Eduardo. So you get the fact that he's socially inept, but he also knows what he's doing. He is manipulating people. So Eduardo ponies up the grand, and Mark builds a website, and it becomes really popular. And then there's this lovely scene where he comes up with the relationship status interested in part of Facebook. And I think that's another action scene. You know, he gets an idea and he runs. And that's, by the way, when Eduardo tells him that thing about getting past the second cut. But, yeah. Yeah, and so now they see that this is an idea well beyond what they think it is. In fact, this is where Eduardo's like, okay, now let's see if we can make some money. And Zuckerberg's like, how? Well, advertising. Well, we don't even know what this is yet. You know, well, when will it be finished? Oh, it's never going to be finished. You know, we have no idea what this is going to become. So how do we even think about marketing it? And of course, he's not really interested in money. He just wants to know how big this can get. And they're only at Harvard at this point. We're only talking about hundreds of people. So now that Facebook is live and getting to be popular on the campus, the Winklevi get wind, or actually Divya gets wind at an acapella, what do you call it, performance. And the one thing that Zuckerberg said is, you know, how to get attention is to either be in an acapella group or to row crew. And he can't really sing, and he's certainly not able to be, you know, row crew because he's not that body type.
Yeah.
So it's funny that the only time you ever see the Winklevosses is in the deposition or rowing. And the only time you see Divya is either in the depositions or with the Winklevosses, Winklevi, whatever, or in this one case at the acapella concert, not concert, just a performance. So he finds out that this Facebook thing, and at this time they have been corresponding by email pretty much one way. The Winklevi or Divya have been sending Zuckerberg emails, and he's basically blowing them off. So 3 weeks into it, they find out he started his own version of their idea. They are pissed. And again, this is where you see the difference between Tyler and Cameron. Cameron's like, okay, let's just keep our heads about this. You know, we'll try to deal with this like gentlemen. And Tyler's like, no, we want to go and rip his head off.
Yeah.
Anyway, Saverin and Zuckerberg then at a Bill Gates lecture, which, by the way, there's a funny little scene at the end of the Bill Gates lecture that I think is hilarious. But they meet fellow student Christy Lee, played by Brenda Song, who is basically like, hey, is that Mark Zuckerberg? And Eduardo talks to him. He's like, yeah, you know, it's, oh, he's the Facebook guy? Because at this time it was called the Facebook. And he's like, well, yeah, you know, it's together. We did it together. Well, maybe you should Facebook me and we'll have a drink later. And they're, you know, Eduardo was delighted that this has happened, because this is what the whole point of the thing was, is to get people to get, like, connected.
Yeah.
And now they're using their own site as a verb. It's fantastic. And as they're leaving, of course, they're stopped by some students saying, hey, are you Mark Zuckerberg? You know, good deal with the Facebook thing. And then the one guy is like, yeah, you know, I think that the speaker, I got there late, but I think the speaker was saying, looking straight at you when he said, the next Bill Gates is in this room. And Zuckerberg's like, no, I think he's fine. It's like, yeah, I didn't even know who that guy was. And Zuckerberg's like, that was Bill Gates. And then they turn and leave. And his friends are like, are you medically stupid?
I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Just little things like that were totally fun.
But it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder how those Harvard types, how deep into their own kind of just world that they just sometimes don't pay any attention. They're so just self-absorbed and self-centered because, you know, it's a heavy-duty college, and you know they're so stoked to try and succeed, and they're so chastised if they don't. So
well, and it's also I think a college thing. You know, you don't really, you know, you're trying to invent yourself, so. You're trying to put on a face of the better person. And of course, you know, as you initially stumble a couple times at that. So this is where Severin finds out that Zuckerberg hasn't told him about the Winklevi's cease and desist order. And Eduardo kind of freaks out about that.
Well, and it's also kind of a telling moment, because this is now, I think, one of the third scenes where it's very clear Mark corrects Eduardo, you know, when Eduardo's like, what are we going to do about this? I am going to do nothing. You know, when did they send this to us? They sent it to me. You know, we could get into a lot of trouble. No, I could get into a lot of trouble. Yeah, this is all very much, it's all very, you know, Mark's like, no, this isn't you. This is all me.
Oh, absolutely. And their company is like, what, 65, 30, and then 5 or something? At this point.
Something like that, right.
And So obviously Zuckerberg's the bigger player in it. But of course, what little money, because they're not generating any income. And so Eduardo is paid for all of this to start with, out of his $1,000. And this, at this point in the movie, comes a great speech during the deposition where Zuckerberg's kind of reluctant to answer questions, and the attorney is really, the opposing counsel is asking his questions, and he just turns in the middle of answering a question. He says, like, no, and then turns and says, it's raining.
You sent my client 16 emails, and the first 15, you didn't raise any concerns.
Is that a question?
In the 16th email, you raised concerns about the site's functionality. Were you leading them on for 6 weeks?
No.
Then why didn't you raise any of these concerns before?
It's raining.
I'm sorry?
It just started raining.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
No.
Do you think I deserve it?
What?
Do you think I deserve your full attention?
I had to swear an oath before we began this deposition, and I don't want to perjure myself, so I have a legal obligation to say no.
Okay, no. You don't think I deserve your attention?
I think if your clients want to sit on my shoulders and call themselves tall, they have a right to give it a try, but there's no requirement that I enjoy sitting here listening to people lie. You have part of my attention. You have the minimum amount. The rest of my attention is back at the offices of Facebook, where my colleagues and I are doing things that no one in this room, including and especially your clients, are intellectually or creatively capable of doing. Did I adequately answer your condescending question?
It is a great speech. I also think there's a point in the movie where, you know, you see Mark like taking notes the whole deposition, but then as it turns out, when he flips up the note very pointedly to show everybody, he's not taking notes at all. He's doodling.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah.
It made me laugh out loud because I thought, I bet he actually did that. That would not surprise me.
Oh, not. Yeah, absolutely. No, that seems to be completely in character.
Yeah.
So at this point, the Eduardo and Mark go to a bar with the girls, and they end up like having a hookup in the bathroom, much to their delight. But as they're guarding the door while the ladies freshen up, Mark hears Erica's voice because she's in the same bar that they are. So he goes over there and has a conversation with her. And it is a great conversation.
Erica?
Yeah, hi.
I saw you from over there. I didn't know you came to this club alone.
First time.
Mine too. Could I talk to you alone for a second?
I think I'm good right here.
I'd love to talk to you alone, if we could just go someplace.
Right here is fine.
I don't know if you heard about this new website I launched.
No.
The Facebook?
You called me a bitch on the internet, Mark.
That's why I wanted to talk to you.
On the internet?
That's why I came over.
Comparing women to farm animals.
I didn't end up doing that.
I didn't stop you from writing it. As if every thought that tumbles through your head was so clever it would be a crime for it not to be shared. The internet's not written in pencil, Mark. It's written in ink. And you published that Erica Albright was a bitch right before you made some ignorant crack about my family's name, my bra size, and then rated women based on their hotness.
Erica, is there a problem?
No, there's no problem. You write your snide bullshit from a dark room because that's what the angry do nowadays. I was nice to you. Don't torture me for it.
If we could just go somewhere for a minute.
I don't want to be rude to my friends.
Okay.
Good luck with your video game.
And it definitely sets him back on his heels. And it explains that, yeah, you may think you're like, you know, hot shit, but you're still a terrible person.
Yeah. There's not enough soap and water to kind of scrub that off.
Well, and the nice thing is, and that's a relatable feeling, you know, like you're you made a mistake. And you're a jerk, and now you want to apologize, but no, there's no apology that's going to, you know, soothe over that wound. But that's where Rooney Mara does a good job as the Erica character, because she's, you know, one of her friends says, you know, is there a problem? He goes, oh, no, there's no problem. Like, I can handle this guy. Anyway, and then we have the Winklevi meeting the president of Harvard, and hit that speech, and it's so great, because that's when the Winklevi get knocked back on their heels.
In kind of a very satisfying fashion, too. And even though, you know, Mark did kind of steal it from them, you know, you're like, you're just pricks.
Well, and the, you know, it still has a question toward the very end, and I have a quote to read you at the very end about how the whole thing ends, but I don't know whether he did steal it from them. I mean, the idea maybe, but he didn't steal the code, and that kind of makes a difference.
I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, intellectual property is a sticky thing.
I'm sorry, because MySpace already existed, right?
Oh, yeah. MySpace was already around there and Friendster. Yeah. Nothing about Facebook was new except that it was exclusive and it was cool. And that's, you know, that's when we meet Sean Parker, we realize that he knows that this is its biggest asset. And we're going to meet Sean Parker in just a moment. Not in a Creepy Way, we'll be back after these messages. As always, we'd love feedback. Call us on our feedback hotline at 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. And we're back. So after the everybody's kicked back in their heels now, Christy Lee arranges for Saverin and Zuckerberg to meet Napster co-founder Sean Parker, played by Justin Timberlake. Let me just...
Wait a minute. Did she arrange that, or did he approach them?
Well, he may have approached... Well, yeah. You know, actually, he found out about Facebook from his girlfriend, or a one-night stand on the Stanford campus.
Right, because, you know, they just expanded to Stanford, and that's how, you know, we get introduced to the Sean character.
Yeah, well, and let me just point this out. Much like Tom Cruise, I don't want to like Justin Timberlake.
I really like Justin Timberlake, although at first I didn't recognize him. It took me a couple minutes, and I'm like, oh, God, that's Justin Timberlake.
Well, okay. I didn't finish my thought. I'm sorry. I liked him a lot in this. And it turns out I like him a lot in everything. I mean, except for his music doesn't really appeal to me, but it turns out it's not written for me anyway, so whatever.
Because his performances on Saturday Night Live...
Oh, he's funny.
Yeah.
And his performance in this movie is great. He does a great job. And he is not the most heroic of characters in this movie.
Oh, no. No. He is not a good person.
No, in any way. And I love the meeting where they're at the fancy restaurant, all worried about getting carded and also trying to pretend that they fit in there. And he's 25 minutes late. And Eduardo is not happy about meeting the guy in the first place. But this begins the whole conflict between Eduardo and Sean. And he comes in and he's all smooth and he's ordering for food for them, which, by the way, as someone with an allergy to shellfish and seafood, I couldn't eat anything they were eating. It's very sad. And I don't drink, so the apple teenies were lost on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the tuna tartare and the... whatever the seafood confit or thing. Like, yeah, that's not going to work for me. Sorry. But so they have this meeting where Sean really impresses Mark. Like, Mark is taken out of the spell of Sean, and Eduardo despises Sean. And that's kind of fun. After that meeting, you know, Eduardo tries to kind of, you know, talk to Mark about, you know, how they're going to do stuff or whatever. And Mark's like, yeah, well, we're going to hire some more. Oh, Mark asked for more money. He's like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because we're going to have to hire some more programmers when we go to move to Palo Alto. They're like, what? Yeah, we're moving to Palo Alto. So already there's a rift developing. And that's when the story appears in the Harvard Crimson publication about animal cruelty.
I shouldn't laugh. I mean,
it's hilarious. He is part of his, he's been accepted to the final club, but he has to carry around this chicken for a week. And at one point they're at the mess hall or the cafeteria, whatever. And they find out that, or the chicken is hungry. So he ends up cutting up a piece of chicken and feeding it to the chicken. And so groups are all upset because he's forced cannibalization on a chicken. And he assumes that it's the Winklevoss, the Winklevi, that arranged all of that. And then Palo Alto, where we get to hear California Uberales by the Dead Kennedys. And then the first thing you see in California is them ziplining off the roof into the pool. By the way, you'll notice Mark isn't ziplining off of anything. He's videotaping it. But and he drinks a lot, but you don't see him doing any kind of drugs or anything. You see him mostly drinking and programming.
Which is probably what it's probably his default. I mean, that's probably him.
Yeah, probably. Absolutely. Yeah, he probably lives like he dresses, you know? Not flashy, but kind of comfortable. Which, you know, that's an admirable quality. I'm into that. So, who do they find out is their next-door neighbor? But Sean. So, or who is, I don't know, he's couch surfing, it seems. Because Sean invented Napster, but he is not rich at all, because Napster didn't really make any money, and they got, you know, shut down by the government and all sorts of lawsuits, and they had to declare bankruptcy and fold. And then his second venture got gobbled up by a venture capitalist or a firm like that. And there's a funny little scene later where he tries to get back at them for that.
Well, he did make money at Napster, but then he had to pay it all out.
Exactly. And
he briefly had money.
Yeah. So, he knows how to live the good life, and everybody knows him because he's a player. He's a player in every sense. So, Parker promises to expand Facebook into two continents. So Zuckerberg invites him to live in the house and be part of the team. Mark doesn't tell Eduardo about this because Eduardo is still in New York or somewhere on the East Coast, supposedly on an internship, by the way. But when competing in a regatta, the Winklevi discover that Facebook's been expanded to Oxford, Cambridge, and the London School of Economics.
It's like they just can't win.
Oh,
it's
no.
Just follow them around like the dark cloud.
Exactly. Yeah, even their dad turns and leaves when someone says, hey, do they have the Facebook in America? Yeah, and they're really upset. And this is actually the one mistake in the movie, is that I think it looked like an overdub or one of those, you know, computerized face things that you were talking about. Because when Cameron turns and tells the other two guys, let's cut the friggin' nerd.
Yeah.
Or let's get the friggin' nerd. It's like, he's not saying friggin'. And it seemed like, well, this is an unnecessary edit. It's not like I'm watching it on TV.
I know. I noticed that too, and I don't know why it's like that.
Yeah, it's unnecessary. You think he would have found that out. Or figured it out or changed it or something.
Or it's actually something he'd say because he's too goody two-shoes to swear.
Well, maybe. Except that he doesn't look like his mouth is saying that. That's the problem. So,
yeah.
It was
CGI, so.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. So, that's the only part of the movie that took me out of it, but it did take me out for a moment. So, Eduardo shows up in California, and who answers the door but Sean? And there's girls in there with, like, a gigantic bong, and there's all sorts of stuff going on.
Gigantic bong. That looked like a ski jump.
Yeah. Yeah. Hilarious. So this is where Eduardo is angry and Sean is kind of blowing him off about the whole thing. So he's angry and hurt and he freezes the bank account with the $18,000 that he put in as a second deposit in this whole company. And that is a problem. When Zuckerberg finds out that he had froze the account, he is super pissed. And then there's a nice speech, I'm not going to put in probably, where he talks about how that Facebook cannot, their servers cannot go down. It has to be on all the time. That's the whole point of the thing, is if it goes down for a minute, it's a big deal. Which we found out, you know, just this year, Facebook crashed for a little bit, and people called 911. It's astounding.
It's kind of sad and ridiculous.
It is completely ridiculous, but it is. I mean, I look at Facebook like 100 times a day. It's sad, but it's absolutely true. Partly it's because I want to see if there's feedback on my podcast.
Oh God, sorry. I just Sorry, something just came up on my feed, and it was like, reminder, legal recreational pot use doesn't start in Oregon until July.
Yeah. It's a good thing to point out. Oh, God. Yeah. Hey, in a couple hours, we'll find out whether it's legal in Alaska, too.
Woohoo.
Yeah, well, we'll also find out if I'm going to be looking for a new job or not after 19 years. We'll see. Anyway, so at this point, there is another piece of comedy that you love, or I loved. As Eduardo is telling Mark, like, not only is he all, this is all crazy and he's being cut out of his own company, but his girlfriend is a psycho.
Yeah, no, she really is. Like, I mean, you know, she talks about, I think Eduardo talks about how she's kind of crazy. And you kind of never really saw that, but then you see the crazy.
Oh, it's such a beautiful scene. This is all as things are crumbling down around Eduardo. Because Eduardo comes back and they have, because they had an angel investor give him $500,000 so they open up an office. Eduardo comes back to the Facebook offices with him. Basically, I guess the second time, at least in the movie. And that's when he discovers that he has been tremendously screwed. He had a 34% share on Facebook, and they released new shares, and nobody got diluted of the main guys except for Eduardo. His share went from 34% to 0.03%. And, I mean, that's it. He's got nothing.
Well, and I think that his biggest... The biggest obstacle in his path was that he signed the paperwork, and he was he's a business major.
Oh yeah, yeah. He should have had a lawyer look at the paperwork, but he didn't think he had to because this is his best friend's company.
Right.
Yeah. He and his best friend made this company, and now his best friend has just totally screwed him.
And by the way, at this point in the movie, there's the pivotal scene where they're at the headquarters and there's going to be a million users and all that. You'll notice. Did you notice what t-shirt Eisenberg was wearing?
No, I didn't.
He was wearing an Arm and Hammer shirt.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I just thought that was funny. So.
And this is where now we already know the Winklevii are suing because they're claiming that Zuckerberg stole their idea. But now we figure out why Eduardo is suing. He's suing because he had his stock, you know, stolen from him or reduced in value.
You signed the papers. You set me up. You're going to blame me because you were the business head of the company and you made a bad business deal with your own company.
This is going to be like I'm not a part of Facebook.
It won't be like you're not a part of Facebook. You're not a part of Facebook.
My name's on the masthead.
You might want to check again.
It's because I froze the account?
You think we were going to let you parade around in your ridiculous suits pretending you were running this
company?
Sorry!
My Prada's at the cleaners! Along with my hoodie and my fuck you flip-flops, you pretentious douchebag!
Security's here. You'll be leaving now?
I'm not signing those papers.
We will get the signature.
Tell me this isn't about me getting into the Phoenix. I knew you did it! You planted that story about the chicken!
I didn't plant the story about the chicken. What's he talking about?
You had me accused of animal cruelty.
Seriously, what the hell's the chicken?
And I'll bet what you hated the most is that they identified me as a co-founder of Facebook, which I am. You better lawyer up, asshole, because I'm not coming back for 30%. I'm coming back for everything.
Get him out of here.
It's okay, I'm going.
Hang on. I almost forgot. Here's your $19,000. I wouldn't cash it, though. I drew it on the account you froze.
I like sitting next to you, Sean. It makes me look so tough.
They make a great point, at least in this movie. Like, they go through everybody's shares who weren't diluted, and the only person that was diluted was Eduardo.
Exactly. Yeah, so it was definitely a point.
And not just a little bit. I mean, not like just, he didn't go from his, like, you know, his 30% to, like, 10%. It went, you know, he went thousands of percentages lower.
Yeah, 0.03. So that's not great. And of course, what happens to Sean? He gets busted for cocaine possession and possibly contributing to the delinquency of a minor. So he is taken out of the picture. And this is basically where the movie ends. And all along, the junior member of the firm, Marilyn Delpy, who's played by Rashida Jones, who does a good job, but again, she's not in the movie for very much, but she gets the end speech, which is nice. And she's on his team, and they have a little conversation at the end. Zuckerberg's like, okay, well, what now? They're like, well, you know, the partners are having a nice steak, and then they come back, and they're going to put together a settlement agreement. And he's like, well, settlement? Like, oh yeah, you're going to settle. Because the one thing about Zuckerberg is he's extremely unlikable. And she points out that all you have to do, you know, you can easily, whether it's true or not, get a jury to believe that he planted the story about the chicken, and also that he may have called the cops on Sean's little party to get him out of the picture.
Yeah.
And she has the nice line that dovetails with the beginning of the movie where Rooney Mara tells him he's an asshole. And she's like, you're not an asshole, Mark. You're just trying so hard to be. And this is I love the way this movie ends. The movie ends with Zuckerberg asking to use the computer. And she's like, yeah, I don't see anything. There's a problem with that. So
yeah, because we're going to have a big fat retainer off of your ass.
Oh, yeah. He's paying everybody in this movie. But he opens up Facebook and adds Erica as a friend. And all you see is him refreshing his screen to see if she accepts.
Which is kind of funny and hilarious and sad.
Yeah. And as he's doing that, Baby, You're a Rich Man by the Beatles plays.
Yeah.
And then there's the epilogue that states that the Winklevi received a settlement of $65 million. And that Eduardo settled for an unknown amount, but it's reported to be a lot.
And I believe the Winklevi sued again recently.
For under what sued for what though?
I don't know. I want to say there's something, some reason that they sued again.
Well, here, while you're looking that up, let me give you a quote from Harvard Law School professor Lawrence Lessig. He wrote in the New Republic that Sorkin's screenplay did not acknowledge the real villain of the story. I'm quoting, "The total and absolute absurdity of the world where the engines of a federal lawsuit get cranked up to adjudicate the hurt feelings because our idea was stolen of entitled Harvard undergraduates is completely missed by Sorkin. We can't know enough from the film to know whether there was any substantial legal claim here. Sorkin's been very upfront about the fact that there have been fabrications aplenty lacing the story. But from the story as told, we certainly know enough to know that any legal system that would allow these kids to extort $65 million from the most successful business of the century should be ashamed of itself. Did Zuckerberg breach his contract? Maybe, for which the damages are more like $650, not $65 million. Did he steal a trade secret? Absolutely not. Did he steal any other property? Absolutely not. The code for Facebook was his. The idea of a social network is not a patent. It wasn't justice that gave the twins $65 million. It was the fear of a random and inefficient system of law. That system is a tax on innovation and creativity. That tax is the real villain here, not the innovator it burdened." So the Harvard law professor is saying the Winklevi are jackasses that should never have been able, their lawsuit should have been thrown out from the very beginning.
Well, I can kind of see that.
Well, and that's the thing. That's where intellectual property law is a big deal. Anyway, so all in all, like I said, a fast-paced, fun movie with no action in it. Love it. And it's one in a long line of beautiful movies that Andersons love, because it really is beautiful.
Well, it's shot very well, and it's, I mean, again, the score. I mean, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross really did a fantastic job creating the music and the mood. Just the, you know, attention to detail and mood and editing that Fincher put into this, it's just crazy. So, yeah, it's a great movie. They talk about some of the special features about how, they couldn't get a lot of permission from Harvard to do things they wanted to do, like film, because the permission's very limited. And so they had to, they had to improvise. And so at one point, they had to recreate a scene by creating kind of this panoramic video vista that they sweep that you see in the beginning of the movie. But they didn't have permission to be like on the campus, but they needed to get, Jesse Eisenberg running through one of the areas out onto the street where they follow him. And that's kind of the opening scene at night where he's running back to campus. And so to get like some lighting where they needed to have light to show where, to show so that the camera could catch Mark running through this area, they hired a mime to go in and light up an area so that they could have kind of a ruse to have light. And they figured the worst case, the mime would get arrested after a little bit of time and kicked off or whatever, but they'd still have the light there in the meantime so that the camera could capture him.
That's hilarious.
Because they couldn't get permission, so they were just kind of like, well, you go back to film school and you do the kind of, you do the kind of things you can do to get the movie made. And so we did.
Yeah, it's a mime decoy.
Yeah.
You could actually set up, I can see a situation where to do a more elaborate scene, you can set up a whole mime field.
Funny.
Yeah, that was, rim shot. It'd
be very, very quiet.
Yeah, it would be. Silent but deadly.
Yeah, they wouldn't be smart bombs, they'd be silent bombs.
There you go.
Not unlike our jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. any other tricks or tips from the factoids from the extra features?
There's so much in there. There's no way to go through it. There's so much.
Well, I mean, we don't have to, because people should really go and watch this movie if they haven't.
Yeah, absolutely. But I at one point, so when they were showing the making of the movie, because there's quite a bit of extra stuff on the special features, of course. So, the part where Eduardo smashes the MacBook off of Mark's desk?
Yes.
Would you like to know how many takes they did of that?
Oh, how many fake MacBooks were smashed?
They weren't fake.
How many MacBooks were smashed of that scene?
More than 20.
Wow.
And so I hope they were like, we need some kind of like Craigslist toy. Like, we need your broken MacBook. Like $20 for your broken MacBook. I hope that's what it was, because I'm just watching this and crying. I'm just like, all of these MacBooks are just like destroyed, and you see the production crew just stacking them up in a row to show, here's a destroyed one over here with a little like piece of tape and X on it, and here's another one, and here's another one, and here's another. I was like, it made me hurt.
We know what happened is the production crew took them all back to individual Best Buys.
And get them replaced. And then there's, so in other parts of the movie, so when all of the in the beginning where he's got face mash and all the kids are, college kids are looking at the computer screens, they're all looking at blue screens, by the way. All the computer screens are blue. They're not seeing anything. Well, that's all added later.
Well, and that makes sense, because really all you need is the light to shine on the face of the person looking at the screen.
Well, but you also, they're all acting and they're all, like, oh, that, that one and that one. And so they had to, one of the production guys was like, so I have to time it out so that, I have to put the timing on the screen of them creating it and pointing and talking, and, it becomes kind of intricate. And then one of the production assistants told one of the actors, like, here's a line you throw in there that Fincher will laugh at, that we may or may not put in the movie. And so the two guys are sitting at a desk pointing at, like, oh, she's hot. And the other guy's like, of course she's hot. That's Natalie Portman.
Oh, that's funny.
Because, Natalie Portman went to Harvard.
Yeah. Oh, you know, and they didn't mention her by name, but they did mention her in the deposition.
Oh, yes, yeah, right. The lawyer did.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
it was the Winklevi that did.
Right, the Winkle.
Or the maybe Divya. It was probably Divya.
Yeah, it was Divya. So that was just kind of some fun things out of the special features.
Well, and even though Zuckerberg's character isn't likable, I don't cringe when he puts himself into a bad spot, which is nice. I mean, that was, you know, you could tell he's, you know, when he's on the edge, but because he's not a particularly likable character, you don't feel like tense when he gets his comeuppance the very few times that it ever happens. Basically, at the hands of Erica is the only time he's been defeated.
Well, and I don't feel sorry for him anyway. He's the richest, he's the richest sad man ever.
Well, exactly. And at the end, that's you pity him, but it's not like you can do anything or you have he doesn't want your goddamn hug.
Okay, that's probably true.
I'm just projecting, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a great story. I was happy to get to watch it for this.
No, like I said, I've seen it several times. It's one of those great, I mean, it's so beautifully done. I mean, it's a visually appealing movie. It's great that the music and the dialogue also go very well to lend to that. Cause the background, all of that is just a fantastic coalescence. So, and I really like Sorkin's writing. And I'm not familiar with all of Fincher's work, but, I really have come to respect him and his kind of his art craft, if you will.
Well, you're definitely, you're familiar with the Girl with a Dragon Tattoo with Rooney Mara. And
yeah.
You're familiar with House of Cards with Kate Mara.
Oh, are they related? I didn't know they were related.
Yeah, they are sisters.
Uh-huh.
And you're familiar with the executive producer, Kevin Spacey, because he's also House of Cards.
Yeah, lead villain.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, and then so I was really hoping that Fincher was going to direct the Steve Jobs biopic, which is based off the Walter Isaacson novel, which is a great book, by the way. Great, great book.
And but, this is not the Ashton Kutcher film that you saw?
No. This is the book that I was written. So Isaacson actually interviewed Steve Jobs and people around Steve Jobs. And he told Steve Jobs, he goes, look, I am not going to sugarcoat any of this. And you're not going to edit any of this. I will let you see what I'm doing, but you're not changing what I write. I'm writing what I find. And Steve Jobs is like, well, okay, but I get to put, I get to put my voice in it. And he was like, well, I'll let you have a voice, but it's not changing what I write about you. So it really is a great book. Now the book is crazy comprehensive. It's a long book, but it's well worth, I have it on Audible, I should look up how long the audio was, but.
Well, I haven't heard anything. I mean, I haven't heard anybody say they didn't like the book.
The Isaacson book?
Yeah. It was a bestseller, I'm sure, for quite a while.
Oh, it really was a great book. And, it does not cast him in a good light. It does explain some of the craziness that is him, but it does not, it pulls no punches and really doesn't make the case for some of his behavior. It doesn't apologize for his bad behavior, but it's very clear that he had some bad behavior and continued his bad behavior through most of his life. It's 25 hours on Audible. So.
So it's not quite a Stephen King novel, but it's getting in that range.
So Fincher was supposed to, direct it, but Fincher apparently was arguing with Sony, and Fincher said that he would only do it if Christian Bale played Jobs. And for whatever reason, I guess it just went, it just got out of control. And so Fincher was fighting with Sony, and finally Fincher said, F you, I'm out of here. So as of today, actually, Variety reports that Danny Boyle will be directing and Christian Bale is out. But they did announce that Wozniak will be played by Seth Rogen.
Oh, that works. Yeah, I could see that.
And Sorkin's writing the screenplay.
Cool. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what's going to happen with the Jobs biopic. I'm looking forward to it since it's based on Isaac, like I said, based on the Isaacson novel. But I guess this has been kind of an albatross for Sony because Sony's hemorrhaging money and needs to have a hit. And Fincher's last two movies for Sony didn't do very well. And so that's part of the tension, I guess. So Fincher just moved on to do HBO, an HBO series called Utopia, which is a UK import.
Well, he's also executive producer and directed some of the episodes of House of Cards.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. We'll see what comes of it. I'm cautiously optimistic, although who knows when it's going to come out.
Send your feedback to show@notinthecreepyway.com or call us on our new voicemail account to leave voice messages. Or you can text us at this account to leave text messages. The number is 425-243-9169. That's 425-243-9169. What are you waiting for? Put it in your phone right now, and then when you listen to an episode, you can just hit your contacts. Dial it already.